Test, okay. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him, and buried him in his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young man, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, 'Have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. And now I have heard that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you, therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David.' When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name, and they waited. But Nabal answered David's servant and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?' So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said to his men, 'Each of you, gird on his sword.' So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor do we miss anything, as long as they went about with them while we were in the fields. But they were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the time we were with them attending the sheep. Now therefore, no one consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him.' Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, and 5 measures of roasted grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to the young man, 'Go on before me, behold, I'm coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain, and behold, David and his men were coming down toward her, so she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he was returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and much more also, if by morning I leave as much as 1 male of any who belong to him.' When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey, and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you, and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my lord be as Nabal. And now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my lord be given to the young men to accompany my lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil should not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up to pursue you and seek your life, then the life of my lord should be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about when the Lord shall do for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my lord having avenged himself. When the Lord shall deal well with my lord, then remember your maidservant." Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me to this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not be much left to Nabal until the morning light, as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But it came about in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, it happened that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David has sent us to you to take you as his wife." And she rose and bowed her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Then Abigail quickly arose and rode on donkey with her 5 maidens who attended her, and she became the messengers of David and became his wife. David also had taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Amen. Okay. So, chapter 25 starts off pretty seriously, but in some ways very unceremoniously. And so we are introduced to the death of Samuel. And it's amazing of how important Samuel was for the nation of Israel. Remember, he was the first judge prophet. And he would now institute or the link between the prophetic office as well as now the kingly office has from being removed from the judges. And so he's such an important figure in the Old Testament, actually in the history of Israel, but only one verse is given to him towards his death. And I, you know, I've been meditating on that. I just feel like it's so appropriate for who Samuel was. He really was this humble ruler. And his reward is not here on earth. His reward is not on the pages of Scripture. I mean, one verse. You would think surely this guy would deserve at least a chapter, you know, according to his death and, you know, what happened to him and how the people came to mourn him and you know, and the buildings they built in his name and, you know, all these kinds of things. And in fact, I'll even take it further. He doesn't even get the whole verse to himself. It starts off with one little verse, and then it says, "And then David went to Paran in the wilderness," basically because he was hungry. And how fitting for a humble servant of God that he would just get half a verse according to his death. And he basically went and they gathered together. They mourned for him. He went to Ramah, so he died in his home. And what a way to go. You know what I mean? What a way for a servant of God to go and to be back with his master. And it really takes me aback a little bit. Because, I mean, if I'm honest, you know, when I die, I want there to be pomp and circumstance and, you know, all kinds of, I mean, not like the Queen of England or anything like that. But, you know, a little bit more attention in that regard. That's why Samuel, and we're not Samuel, even though that's my name, right? He's such a humble servant of God, and he truly lived his life on earth. He lived it for heaven. He didn't live it here. He recognized, and I love the way that the Apostle Paul talks about our life on earth and our life in heaven, and he says that we are in tents. And that's our dwelling place. So, you know, we have a real dwelling place. We have a home, but on earth we dwell in tents. And the beauty of a tent is it's mobile. It's not permanent. You pick up, take somewhere else, and put a campsite together, and then you pick up, and it's the whole idea. It's quick. It's mobile. We move from place to place as the Lord directs us. It's not a home. You know, my our. Our lease is coming up in March, and so we've been in this apartment for 3 years. We'll be 3 years in March, and I'm dreading. My wife and I, we're praying right now. We're praying that the landlord has mercy, and we're praying that the economy tanks. I know that's a bad prayer to have, but, you know, this is my flesh, and all these things. And so we get a good rate, but I'm just dreading having to move. And, you know, whenever you move into home, you always are accumulating stuff. And, you know, we accumulated a kid, you know, in this house and all the things that go with that. And but that's not the way that God wants us to live. He's talking about tents. It's mobile. And, you know, the crazy thing is, and if you draw this analogy out even more, if you take a tent and try to build a foundation with a tent and the winds blow and think, guess what happens? The tent rips. Your dwelling, your everything that is about that, it goes to pieces in that regard. And that's Paul's message to us. He says that we're here temporarily. In fact, he uses a whole nother language, and he says we are aliens in a foreign land. Our real home is in heaven. And it's so appropriate that we think in those terms. You know, I'll be honest, I'll share something. I really struggled a few years ago when my mom passed away. Some of you guys were around back then. This is 2008, and during that time, you know, we actually had received some prophetic words that and from some very, very well-known prophetic people. So it wasn't just, you know, Joe Blow went up to us and the word was that God has an incredible exit plan, and, you know, for my parents and all these things, because at this time, they were missionaries in Uzbekistan. And so, you know, that seemed to give me quite a bit of solace. And then, you know, my mom, she came to Hong Kong to be with us when our second daughter was born. So she stayed with us, and then she was basically going back to Uzbekistan, but through Korea. And one of their sponsors had organized like a full physical for them. And so she got a physical, and then they found out that she had cancer. And she had actually fourth stage stomach cancer. And so, you know, they removed the stomach as they do. They, you know, she was on chemotherapy. And then she died about 7 months after that. And so I was there when they died. I got the phone call and said, my dad said, come now. And so we took the next flight out. And we were there when my mom passed. But she died of liver failure. And so if you ever know the function of the liver, her body just bloated. She was in incredible pain. And on top of that, she had pneumonia. And so she was going in and out of consciousness, and she was breathing really heavily, you know, you know, kind of because of the pneumonia. And I mean, it was a horrible picture. And then she passed. And we're actually in the room. We're actually just about to take communion. A pastor from one of the churches that had sponsored them had come to administer communion, you know, have a service in the hospital room. And then she passed just before the service started. And, you know, we're busy with all the funeral arrangements and all that stuff. And then, you know, then you have some time to breathe and think, you know. And I was like, well, you know, my mom gave her life for these Uzbek people. And it's kind of like, and so this is how she goes out? And if I'm honest, I had some anger in my heart towards God. And I wasn't angry that God took her. You know, she's in heaven. You know, I mean, what a glorious state. But if I'm going to be really honest, I was angry at God in the way that he took her. And I just felt like such a sweet woman of God deserves a better death than this. And, you know, similar to what we're talking about here with Samuel. And, you know, so I went through this thing, and you know, I've shared before in other testimonies, so I won't belabor the point. And but I came to peace with it, and I forgave God, and, you know, not that he's culpable of anything, but, you know, I said, God, I don't understand, but when I get to heaven, I'll understand. And about a month later, I was actually sitting here in the front row in after EMP. So I taught, and I went back, sat down, and as I customarily do, I go and do my quiet time and read the scriptures. And I happened to be reading the book of Acts during that time. And I started reading particularly Acts 6, and it's the stoning of Stephen. You know, and as I'm starting to read that, I feel like the Holy Spirit say, did you see that? And I was like, what? No. So I read it again, and he goes, did you see that? I was like, no. And I said, God, Holy Spirit, you better help me because I'm not getting any revelation here. And then he opened my eyes. And it's the story of Stephen. Do you remember when Stephen is being stoned? And he looks up to heaven and he sees Jesus. And he says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And I looked at that. And, you know, and I studied theology. And I've read different books and theologians. And one of the big aspects of Pauline literature is position. You know, the idea of standing, sitting, and walking. And those have huge theological conclusions for the Apostle Paul. And so, in fact, the book of Ephesians, Watchman Nee wrote a commentary on that. And I'm going to mess up the order, but he called it sit, stand, walk, or something to that effect. And he's talking about our position. Our position is sitting, our position standing, and our position walking. And all those have theological consequences. You know, we stand to fight, we sit when everything is done. And so I recognize biblically what Stephen is actually seeing in heaven, according to Paul and according to others, would actually be theologically incorrect because he's already died for us on the cross. So he should be, and according to most of the revelation, in fact, all of the revelation outside of Acts, that one passage in the book is he is now seated at the right hand of God because the work is finished, but now he's standing. And what the Holy Spirit was showing me, and I heard this in my heart. I mean, it wasn't audible, but it very well could have been. And what the Lord was showing me was that he says, you know, Sam, you know, what you saw in the hospital room was not reality. It was small R reality. What was really happening was like what happened to Stephen. And what the Lord was showing me, he's saying, you know, he says, Sam, every once in a while when a beloved saint comes into heaven, this is Jesus, he gets so excited that he gets out of his seat and he runs and he welcomes them in to heaven, just like he welcomed Stephen. And he was telling me, he says, you know, you may have seen your mom breathing hard, but what you didn't see was that when your mom came to me, I stood up and I welcomed her, you know, into eternity. And man, I tell you, man, I was bawling like a baby. I was just like, it's those moments where you just understand, like you just get it. Yeah. You know, that moment of eternity when we get to hear the voice of the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, will override whatever pain that we endure in this life. Just that moment of eternity. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Well done, good and faithful servant. So it's okay to trouble ourselves. It's okay to go through trials and temptations. Paul, in his own way, he says it in a little different way, and he calls it momentary light affliction. You know, and he's talking about shipwrecked and stoned and, you know, beat up and naked and destitute. He's talking about all these things, and he said all that stuff in light of glory, in light of eternity, momentary light affliction. And don't you just love the Apostle Paul and the way that he's able to articulate our human condition and what's going on in our lives? And that's Samuel here. Samuel, half a verse, because his reward, his citizenship is in heaven. He's not here for the applause of man. He's not here for prominence. He's not living this life. And you could tell in the way that he interacts with people. Samuel, man, he just cared about people, and God would tell him to do stuff, and he says, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to Saul. You know, I don't want to anoint another king. I don't want to do these things. But his citizenship was in heaven. The Lord was his Lord, and so he obeyed despite the circumstances that might happen. Man, my prayer this morning is that we would be so obedient to the Father that even though there may be consequences here on earth, because our citizenship is in heaven, it changes the way we operate. It changes the way we do things. And we live with a heavenly mindset. Paul also talks about that. He says, so temporal versus the eternal in 1 Corinthians. And so we live with such an eternal mindset that when our day is done and there's half a verse or half an obituary that's spoken about us. We are such at peace, and it just seems so fitting for us in that way. Amen? Okay, I feel like I should also do the rest here, even though I spent the time talking about half a verse. But the other part, too, just so you know historically about Nabal, his name actually is Man of Belial. Remember, Belial was a really evil figure. And so his name literally meant foolishness. And so we understand by his name that that's exactly who he is. And in Eastern tradition, and so what you get from a lot of the scripture, you get a point of view about ancient life. And in ancient life, when this type of situation happened, it was very customary that the landowner, not the, but the herdsman, you know, the wealthy man, when they were asked for tribute, would gladly give to David. So David is not asking something that's out of the ordinary. Actually, it's his right to do that. And what's not kind of written in the scripture is that what was happening was Nabal was actually grazing on land that wasn't his own. And so David's men were in this place, and they actually protected the sheep and the herdsmen, you know, from wolves and thieves and all those kinds of stuff. And so in that way, they earned a wage in that regard. And so customary in ancient times, when it was the shearing season, which meant was a festival, it was a party, then it was very customary for them to come and ask for to be part of the celebration, basically, because they earned that right. And Nabal, very evil, not just said no, he actually insulted David and said, "Who are you?" Now, he knows very well who he is because they're actually from the same family. They're all Calebites in this regard. And so very clearly, he knows exactly who David is. In fact, everyone knows who David is during that time. And so he insults him further, so much so that David comes and says, we're gonna kill these guys, we're gonna take care of business. And that would have been his ancient right during that time. But fortunately, there's a very wise woman, Abigail, that comes on the scene. And basically, this is a really a clear example of what we see intercession in that regard of pleading on behalf of somebody else. In this card, even if they're wrong and have done evil, this is in some way, we could call this, and I don't have time to unpack this, but they call this identificational repentance. And so she's saying, it's my fault, even though it's not her fault, it's her husband's fault, but she is identifying with the sin, and out of that identification, she's able to change David's heart in that regard. And so we use this in prayer, especially particularly in intercession, and we see a picture of what that looks like. And so David's heart is moved. And talk about, you know, yesterday we talked about revenge in that way. And notice David doesn't have to lift a finger and God avenges him. Basically, Nabal goes into a coma and then 10 days later he dies. And God avenges David's reproach in this regard. And so kind of from yesterday, you know, you can avenge yourself or you can have God do it for you. Trust me, God's way is much better. And on top of that, David picks up a beautiful wife, you know, as part of that recompense in that way. And that's kind of how this chapter ends. So let's close our eyes and let's go back to the first point that we talked about. Are we living for eternity? Are we living a life that looks like we're in a tent? Or are we doing like what Jesus says, storing up treasures on earth? When we ought to be storing up treasures in heaven. Are we living this life recognizing that this is not our destination? Our destination is heaven. And we may not understand all that goes on in our life right now. But God will reveal himself to us, just like he revealed himself to me. You know, up until I had that experience with the Lord, I'll be honest, every time I looked at a picture of my mom, I would cry. Tears would just come out of nowhere. After that time, no longer. I basically stopped mourning when I recognized where she was and who she was with and the welcome that she received. What a privilege that God gives each of us to live our life in such a way that when we get to heaven, we live so magnificently, so obediently, so faithfully, that when we get there, Jesus gets up and He welcomes us. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning.
And you love me through and through, through and through, through and through. God, you love me through and through.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would have an eternal perspective in our lives. Let's pray that the Lord would really allow us to fix our eyes on Him, not on our circumstances, not on what's temporal, but on what's eternal. Let's go before Him this morning. Pray for our community that are battling cancer. Let's ask God's healing word, and especially those that are going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. So let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Put our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Well, let's ask God to touch this great nation, and that Holy Spirit would just breathe life over it. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family, that they would continue to lead the church in a way that glorifies Him and causes growth from within. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie, particularly her health, and Let's lift up the churches there. Let's pray over China. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask for God's hand upon our board members. Pray over their families. Pray that God would cause each of us to be prayerful and humble, and that we would lead with wisdom. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. So let's pray for our men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire Group, men's fraternity. Pray for women's ministry, also Monday morning prayer, discipleship. Let's pray for young adults. Ask the Lord to continue to use Pastor Ken and give more insight. And pray for our springs, our Love After Marriage course. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Pray for a new building and resources. And in particular, we can continue to pray towards our auction that we're doing in February. Let's pray just as a response to a prophetic word that we got, that the Lord would bring a benefactor. Let's just lift up. Remember, this is 1.5. Huh? We believe God for a new place, a new space. So let's just pray. Lastly, let's lift up house churches meeting tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for God's presence. And as we discuss on God's love through the message on Sunday and hearing God's voice, and let's pray for a real fruitful time tonight. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, thank you for the reminder through your scriptures, God, that, Lord, our life belongs to you, Lord. Our life is in your hands, and God, we want to live our lives, Lord, that's worthy of eternity, God. And so would you help us, Lord? Would you reset our priorities, God, and reset our hearts, Lord? We thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. If you're not in a hurry to run off, we have actually a special prayer meeting today. It's on the 9th floor, Tyler, on the 10th floor at 8 o'clock. And we're welcoming Kenneth Bae, if you guys know, that was in prison in North Korea. And so he'll be spending the morning with us. And so you're welcome to join us at 8 o'clock, about 5 minutes on the 10th floor, to hear his stories. So you can do that. Okay? Bless you guys. Bye.